feel it burning deep in my soul. Hey, it's Jeff, and welcome to episode 15 of Publisher Parish FM. Today is Friday, January 29th, 2016. So let's jump right in. I want to start with a quick programming and production note. As many of you know, for the past year or so, we've been really focused on engagement through our YouTube channel and sharing tips and tricks and methods on how to transform from sales leaders to thought leaders, which takes our social selling to the next level. But all this time, I've had a burning desire to be a podcaster, but I hit YouTube over the past year just to work out my content, work out my thinking, and it's been a lot of fun. Well, as you know, last week we went live on iTunes, and I loaded effectively 14 other episodes on our transformational approach that we've worked on together. But all of those were made with a YouTube-first production style, a little whimsical, lighter. To the extent that a 45-year-old gray-haired person can be whimsical and light, not sure if that worked or not or translated, but anyway, I feel like we're now switching to a podcast-first production strategy, which is very different. It's more different than I anticipated. In fact, it's feeling a little awkward right now, like I'm reading for radio versus just, hey, YouTuber, you know, just really chilling out on YouTube. So it's an important distinction to make, and it's consistent with our strategy and consistent with our persona to program for a podcast-first audience, and of course, the derivative content will still land on the YouTube channel. So that's the switch. It'd be interesting to see if you notice the switch in production and cues, and would love to hear your comments on it. And I'll keep you posted on our progress and then a level of engagement we get on YouTube relative to podcasting. So that being said, let's jump in, sticking with the same format as far as the segments are concerned. We're going to start with the transformation segment. And in the transformation segment, bottom line, how do we scale relationships and scale revenue to be more effective? That's why we're here, right? Doing those two things, scaling relationships, scaling revenue will be more effective. We have the tools at our disposal, and it'd be a shame not to take advantage of those. And of course, one method we talk about consistently is social selling. And social selling has gained a lot of popularity. Many, many great people out there talking about why social selling is important. In fact, I even have the 5 R's of social selling that we can use to help drive awareness and visibility of social selling. If you want to see that, we've talked about that several episodes ago, but if you hit my profile on LinkedIn and look at a Pulse post, there's a slide share on the 5 R's of social selling, which are very, very effective on explaining social selling to some of your peers and colleagues. But how, right? So why is fine. I think we all get it. How do you drive adoption? What specifically can you do to get beyond the concept and focus on driving adoption of social selling? Because we know it's very effective at scaling relationships and scaling revenue. Well, one great way, of course, is scoring our team members and the individuals on our team at their current level of social selling. One of the most popular scoring methods out there, of course, is LinkedIn's SSI, Social Selling Index. Great score. I love the score. 4 drivers to the SSI. In fact, I'm at a 91 still, so I've kind of sitting at that level, been at that level for a period of time. It's very effective, but I wanted to really tweak this model out a little bit. So I built my own adoption model and specifically on how to drive more use of social selling as an approach. And I've mapped it as a maturity curve. And I've borrowed this concept, of course, from our friends at Marketo, who have the marketing maturity curve to support their marketing automation and nurture marketing business. And I built a social selling maturity curve, and it specifically gives you ways to score and evaluate and then move your team members up the various levels. Today we're going to focus on just level 1 and level 2 and how to get our level 1s into level 2. So I need to explain the model to you and just think about an XY axis, right? So if you do the good old coordinate plane, you have revenue on the Y axis, that's the arrow pointing up, and relationships on the x-axis, the arrow pointing to the right. And the goal is, how do you scale relationships and scale revenue? And of course, the ideal is always to be up and to the right. So how can we get as far out in the efficient frontier for those MBA wonks out there? How do we get it way out into the efficient frontier around scaling relationships and scaling revenue to be highly effective? So the four levels of the social selling maturity curve: level ones are observers. Level twos are those that share, like, and comment. Level threes are curators, and level fours are creators. Once again, this is my model. I'd love your feedback on my model, but this is a good place to start. So let's talk about moving an individual on your team from level one to level two. So if they are an observer, I have them pegged, you know, right down at the intersection of the X and Y axis. And observer, as far as scaling relationships and scaling revenue, they're not using social selling to scale their relationships or social media to scale relationships. They may be great at relationships one-on-one, but how scalable is that? And wouldn't you want to take advantage that you can scale relationships using our social media tools today? So they may be low on relationships, scalable relationships, and possibly, and most likely, low on revenue. Because if you're low on relationships and high on revenue, you're most likely a mercenary, right? So that's the person I've pegged up at, up on the top left, high on revenue, low on relationships. Those are mercenaries. That's not a sustainable model in this day and age. So that's the goal, is how do you get someone out of observer phase where they're lurking, right? And they're just simply there to suck information out, but not giving anything back. And if you want the visual on this, of course, as I mentioned, I put this in a Pulse post on, it's called the Social Selling Maturity Curve. And it's a quick video, it's a quick 2-minute video that explains how you walk up the social selling maturity curve. So I'll use an example. I have a team member that I sat with this week who's a great salesperson, but he's not really embraced social selling yet. I'd call him an observer, and the goal is to help him scale his activity. The first thing we said is, you know, that's great. We'll call him Joe. Hey, Joe, your profile says you're a business development director right in your headline. No wonder your in-mails aren't converting, right? You send an in-mail to somebody, they're probably going to ignore it because it's like, here comes a sales guy, because there's still that connotation. So how do you get someone out of observer mode? And we're not going to spend time on methods to dress up your profile. There's so much content, so much great content out there and available. But start moving them up the maturity curve to level two to become a resource, right? And that's really what's effective, is how do you start to become a resource to your prospects and customers, which once can get you on the path to scaling relationships and scaling revenue. Well, your marketing team can be a big help in moving your individual members from level one to level two. In fact, there are three ways your marketing team can be a big help in moving from level one to level two. The first method, is the New York City subway approach to social selling. If you see something, say something. So important prospects, important customers, everyone at your organization, or at least on your commercial team, should be monitoring social media feeds, Twitter lists, LinkedIn Sales Navigator, saved leads. Just essentially load those individuals up and monitor and see what's happening and find, you know, determine if they have problems to solve or questions to answer. And then have the marketing team just alert their fellow colleagues in sales that there is an opportunity to help solve a problem. And that's not where it stops, because, you know, method number two, or way number two marketing can help, is not only can they alert the team member that, hey, your great prospect X is really seeking an application, the marketing team can compile relevant articles on the sector and on applications, and even offer up pithy comments to share. And that sharing, once again, gets us up to level two, right? So The moment we start sharing, liking, commenting, that starts you on the path to level two. That starts you on the path to becoming a resource. And it's important to mention, it's industry level content, or it's application based content about the problem, not about your company. And that's why it's important from a marketer's perspective to help your sales team, because you really have to stay focused on solving the problem from the client's perspective and not pushing the product from the sales perspective. And then lastly, of course, the third way marketing can help move from a level one to level two is scoring the team and then offering incentives to move up the maturity curve. So I have my own scoring model I've developed on the maturity curve, and I've offered incentives. You know, we have a Q1 contest on a 25% increase in your score. And we're also putting an incentive on the social selling index. But, you know, what are ways that the team member, you know, motivated, do some gamification, help the team have some fun and compete with each other on moving up the maturity curve. So that's the whole method, right? Is specifically what can you do? And we're going to spend a lot of time specifically on methods, tips, tricks we can do to really just put horsepower into this initiative. So that's really the focus on level one to level two. Next week, we're going to really talk about once you have a pattern of sharing, liking, and commenting, that's still pretty easy, right? That's not that difficult to do. It's fairly transactional. It's somewhat easy to ignore. How can you move into level three as a curator and really start to add value and not be so volumetric? Because, you know, volumetric shares, likes, and comments, those just tend to disappear into the timeline. How can you really move in and start to differentiate yourself? So that's the purpose of next week. Another way, though, if you think about, we're gonna step into the next segment, the leading change framework. So how do you really supercharge and power this initiative? We started last week on the leading change framework. Of course, this is the work done by Professor Cotter at Harvard. And, you know, he started this back in the 90s, and I was fortunate enough about more than 10 years ago to attend a workshop led by Professor Carter on the leading change framework. And he's even done some updates, recently just updated the model, but it's still consistent. Last week, we focused on step one, creating a sense of urgency. Of course, a sense of urgency. Why should we adopt social selling? Why do we need to take it to the next level? Look, the market's evolving and we must evolve with it. That's a sense of urgency. Consumers have unprecedented access to volumes of information. Everyone has access to communication platforms, including your competitors. And they basically, startups these days can eat your lunch. If you're an enterprise organization and there's a startup that has an application in your market, the agility and the ability to communicate at scale is there. And to that end, you know, the sense of urgency is there, right? And how are we just helping to dig in and drive the organization forward with a sense of urgency? But step two is build that guiding coalition. Can you coordinate and sustain change? And do you have a volunteer army of effective people across the organization to organize and drive change? And these days, position power, while important, it is not the end all be all. So this social selling in the truest sense is not a position power initiative. We shouldn't do it because someone at a higher level said we should. We should do it because it's effective. So part of this diverse army across the organization, of course you need position power, but you need influencers, you need dissenters, and the benefit, the beauty of having dissenters in your volunteer army in your group is you can debate and refine your position, and you can really work through the why and the how together in this small consortium and kind of work out the hard parts or work out the edge cases. And I love having dissenters because it really helps to refine the argument, right? And no one wants to be force-fed. Everyone likes the chance to collaborate. So embrace that dissenter in your organization and prove it, right? And debate them. And I think really great things will come out of that. So assembling that army, build that guiding coalition. Of course, you want to track effective wins and quick wins and early case studies. But that guiding coalition will carry you across the field and start to drive change. And people will take notice because it's, once again, it's not a top-down initiative. It's not a dictate. This is a bottom-up initiative with people coming together from diverse perspectives to really just help drive change and win. And once again, this goes back to how do you scale your relationships and scale your revenue. So that's a wrap for this week. You know, as we mentioned, we're now live on iTunes, where this is a podcast first strategy. So please, I would greatly appreciate it if you like the content and you want to hear more of the content, please subscribe. And I would love and greatly appreciate a rating and review, because that's how podcasts get discovered. That's the iTunes algorithm for presenting podcasts as new and noteworthy. It's ratings and reviews. So I would greatly appreciate a rating and review on podcast. If you do have any questions or you want to chew through the model, happy to hear from you. Just email me at my personal blog. It's jeff@publishorperish.fm. Pretty simple. And I hope you have a great week. And as always, let's think like marketers and sell like animals. I will not hesitate. Cheers. Because well, I'm an animal. I'm on my belly full. I will not go to my grave with this inside of me. Well, I'm an animal, and I can feel the pull. It's time to open my cage.